Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, brought to you by DraftKings. We all love a high-scoring NFL game. But at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number three, Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, last quarter we talked about best-case scenarios for the offense. The one thing we didn't mention, I'll hit it quickly, is from the running game, think we're going to see a 100-yard rusher this game?
I think they are dead set on making that happen. That's what I think. The way that James Franklin, you know, Audrey, our friend Audrey Snyder asked after the season finale about there not being a 100-yard rusher, and he basically said the season's not over yet. So I, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if James Franklin literally just wants to stick it to Audrey Snyder by getting a 100-yard rusher. That would not surprise me at all. But I do think they don't want to make that kind of history. They want to kind of wrap the season saying and showing in a box score that they made progress in their biggest area of weakness. Like, these are human beings, and I think they have human being motivations, and I think that's one of them for this game. So I think they're going to try. You know, it's certainly not going to be for a lack of effort, put it that way.
Noah Kane, 103 yards rushing on 52 carries.
Yes, exactly.
There's my other bold prediction. All right, Dustin, enough about the offense. Let's talk defense. And especially because we could end up seeing a lot of defensive players sit this one out. Some of the names that, you know, I mentioned earlier, Ibukiti and Tangelo on the line. Brandon Smith, we know, is out. Could be Ellis Brooks also at linebacker. Among the DBs, is Tariq Castro Fields going to play? I don't think Jaquan Brisker will, if I had to guess. So there could be a lot of holes in the defense based on players sitting out. What are you looking for at each level? Let's start at linebacker, where we already know that Brandon Smith is going to be out. We know Ellis Brooks could be out. It already was a fairly thin unit to begin with. So what are we going to end up seeing at linebacker?
Well, I mean, I'm curious to see where Jesse Luketta fits into that, because he's one who said that he's going to play, I believe, and what role are they going to need him the most to play, because they're not exactly bursting with proven options at either one of those spots. So I do think, you know, a Jonathan Sutherland is capable of playing a linebacker spot. I think Kobe King is capable. Maybe it's Charlie Catcher. You don't really have a long, inspiring list of names at linebacker, and you don't really have a long, inspiring list of names at defensive end. So we'll see what happens with Jesse Luketta. You know, before this, early in the season, I think the first week or two in, when Penn State was so hot defensively, one of the things I remember saying is that they are so good and so stout and experienced up the middle that it really bodes well for them. And now if you want to revisit that sentiment, PJ Mustafa is hurt. Maybe Derek Tangelo doesn't play. Maybe Ellis Brooks doesn't play. We know Brandon Smith isn't playing, and we believe that Jaquan Brisker won't play. So where their strength up the middle of the defense is in a completely different spot now than it was early in the season, certainly before PJ Mustafa got hurt. So, you know, that's an area, you know, where do you have options? You know, you have some guys who had to kind of step up to the plate. Devon Ellis and Keziah Izzard up front at defensive tackle. Who else is behind them that can really play a lot of snaps? You know, is a Fatoma Mulba ready to play a bunch of snaps if he needs to? So, I really think there are questions at each of those spots. And maybe some players that we want to see, but at linebacker, you know, I really want to see Kobe King get a bunch of snaps and do a lot with those snaps. And you want to talk about inspiring hope for next year. If you get a guy like that come in and kind of steal the spotlight from his brother, Kalen, that would be a good situation for the ball game. One of those optimal best case scenario type situations.
Hey, I'm all for seeing the young guys. I really want to, but having this many guys sit out, and you talk about the strength up the middle, what my question would be is, if you're Derek Tangelo and Ellis Brooks, are you not playing? If no announcements have been made, okay, so I don't see the advantage for those two guys in not playing. You know, they're not protecting a first-round draft status there. I would think it would be very much in the best interest of both of those guys to suit up and play.
I think they fall into the same exact category as Tariq Kaspar Fields, which I said earlier, is that, you know, yes, the book is out on them. You know, I think maybe more with Ellis Brooks and Kaspar Fields than Derek Tangelo, but, you know, what can you, like, I think creating some momentum for yourself before you go into the Senior Bowl or wherever you're going after the season is over, by having a big game, like, let's just say Ellis Brooks has 15 tackles and 3 TFLs in this game. How can that possibly hurt kind of him, his final send-off into that pre-draft stuff? You would love it, I think, if your final impression is that. And same with Derek Tangelo. You know, I think James Franklin would really probably make a spirited pitch to these guys that, you know, we need you, and I think you need this game too with a national audience against an SEC team. It can't hurt your stock. You know, and I think any questions that people might have in terms of Ellis Brooks's athletic upside or in terms of Derek Tangelo's athletic upside, they can help themselves and start to answer that question a little bit more by proving it against a good SEC team.
And if you're talking best case scenarios for this bowl game, a guy who could really help himself, I think, is Joey Porter Jr. He, another guy with all those tools like you talked about with Brandon Smith. But he has this situation where, at least for the back half of the season, seemed like every game he would have at least one, if not more, pass interference calls. I would think, even if he were to decide to declare after this game, he's better off playing this game.
I agree completely. I think looking at that on film and seeing that particular tendency has to be a scary thing for NFL teams, because you know, this is a league, and this, you know, football at the pro level and the college level, you know, it is a tough league now for cornerbacks to try to get the job done. You need a guy who's going to stay composed and not self-inflict penalties, because it's going to be tough to match up with these guys anyway. So I don't think NFL teams are going to be all that enthused to, you know, to draft a redshirt sophomore. And I don't think Joey Porter Jr. is going to do that, but to draft somebody who's got a lengthy tendency to grab whenever he gives up a step, because you're always going to give up a step. You know, I think it's a bad habit that started to form. And I think in the week to week and day to day grind of the season, it's hard to reverse that tendency. But in the weeks after the season is over, maybe just kind of preaching and getting back to the fundamentals and saying to trust in your feet and your hips and to trust your arm length, that you can make a play and you can hang with the guy, even though he gets a step on you, or he does something you didn't anticipate. I think he's got to start proving it in the bowl game. And this is one where, you know, it's the start of 2022 now and going into next season, that he needs a lot cleaner film if he's going to kind of make that jump and really be viewed as a must draft commodity.
Another part that ties into this idea of this is the first game of 22, especially for the defense, is Brent Pry is no longer there. So you may have been on this team the last couple of years. Brent Pry knows who you are, knows your work ethic, knows all of that. Guess what? Out the door, because there's new blood coming in, and you need to prove yourself all over again. That's just the nature of when any of our jobs, when a new boss comes in, you have to impress the new guy. In the meantime, it's going to be Anthony Poindexter, you know, calling the defense. This is all going to be an interesting dynamic. Poindexter calling the plays for one game with Manny Diaz there off to the side observing.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's an interesting situation with Poindexter, because, you know, he really has emerged as a guy who probably sooner than later will be a head coach at a good school, probably at a Power Five school. Virginia, you know, for him to say, you know, and that Virginia coaching search turned into an interesting little adventure where there just seemed to be snags that came up for several other candidates too, and ultimately they hire the coordinator from Clemson. But Poindexter is probably going to be a head coach someday sooner than later. And this is a chance, I think, just to kind of give himself a little nudge in that direction. But it's like, when? How long are you around for? You didn't get the coordinator job here. Was he really in it at all? How, you know, what's the relationship like? But he came back to Penn State because he didn't feel like the timing was right. I would say that a couple years ago, Tyler Bowen was the interim offensive coordinator. And what they score on Memphis, like 52 points in the Cotton Bowl that year, that didn't help his resume as a coach. So I think Poindexter, you know, he's got plenty of defensive coordinator experience. He's got some actual play calling experience. I think he's going to be good in this situation. Hopefully he's got a full deck to, you know, a good hand to play in this game. And he's got most of his starters back, but I think he can help himself by calling the plays and putting forth a good defensive showing in this one. And then we'll see where that leads him and what that does for him in the future.
Yeah. It can't be a bad thing for him to play. It didn't hurt Tyler Bowen that, you know, he called plays and they put up 50 some points. The same thing here for Poindexter, especially if they're making changes in personnel because they have to, because players are opting out. It's not going to be a bad look for Poindexter to do a good job here and kind of lead into what we're going to see next year when the new guy takes over. And, you know, Diaz, I got to ask you about that. You know, the observer for the rest of these practices and leading into the bowl game, Dusty.
I would hope that it's a situation where he gets it and he doesn't want to meddle in the situation, you know, where he's there as a sounding board, but he's not there to interfere with Anthony Poindexter, whose job is calling plays for this game. I just wanted to add on Poindexter. I think the next step for him will be a defensive coordinator at a Power Five school. You know, like if you think about his path to a head coach and get the job that he wants and to have it be the right place at the right time, I wouldn't be surprised if he's at Penn State for another year in this co-DC role and then is able to jump into the biggest role as a coordinator of his career.
That would seem like the path, you know, he's headed down. But would you be shocked, though, if a year from now it's actually a head coaching job somewhere? I would not be surprised. Again, he was talking to Virginia, so there was at least one Power Five school who was interested in him. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around. We got lots more to do in quarter number four.
We all love a high-scoring NFL game, but at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point's scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.